Hello and welcome to Club Kingsnake Web Radio. Today, our guest interview is a legend in the Central Texas area. He's a former Peace Corps volunteer, a legendary Texas musician, a TV actor, a movie actor, a novelist, a columnist, an animal rescuer, and now a politician and gubernatorial candidate. Kinky, you have an intro now that's longer than James Brown's. How are you today? This is Kinky Friedman, everybody.
Yeah, I'm fine, but I'm not a TV actor, and I'm not a politician, but otherwise, you got it pretty accurate.
Okay. Well, then I need to go back and correct your Wikipedia entry then. I've been poking around your website and stuff. I noticed that you've got a Guy Jukes designed t-shirt for your campaign. I know you're a longtime Austin resident, and Guy's done a lot of work with a lot of the local bands on their shows. What made you pick Guy to design your t-shirt?
Well, I didn't do that. Little Juford did. He's a Jew and he drives a Ford. Little Juford. He's a very talented boy. And so I think we're using Guy's work on the yard signs, which will be available, I think, July 4th. And a number of t-shirts and things like that.
You've been around the Austin music scene for, well, since before there was an Austin music scene, I guess. How have you seen the scene change over the years, or has it really changed?
No, I don't think it's changed all that much. It's probably the greatest town for live music in the world, and it's a little strange. I think the smoking regulations have hurt the music scene, hurt the smaller clubs. I think, no one gets out of Austin alive. There's the big record companies. Those are the Friedmans right there, responding to an intruder. I have five dogs I'm taking to the governor's mansion with me.
I don't know if they'll have the kind of room on the lawn that you'll need for five dogs up there, but at least they'll have squirrels to chase.
Well, we'll manage. Yeah, we could have a DPS officer throwing the ball to Mr. Magoo.
I know that you played in a lot of the Austin clubs. I think you just got done playing not too recently down at Antone's, and I know that Clifford just recently passed away. Do you have any stories about any adventures that happened to you at Antone's?
Yes, but I don't remember the first half of my life. That's the problem. But yes, it's a shame that Clifford, I think he did as much as anybody for the Austin music scene. And he also was he was a unique guy because he was a musician and a fan at the same time. That's pretty rare. That was part of his charm.
I know that I've talked to musicians worldwide. I have a couple buddies that are in the Atlanta area, and every time I go see them, they remind me that how much fun they had playing at Antone's and how much they really enjoyed Antone's. I know that the Austin music scene really is going to miss him quite a bit. There are a lot of Texas artists that really essentially owe their spurs to Clifford and giving him a break on the stage. So
yeah, well, I just knew Clifford personally. I'm not a big blues aficionado, so we didn't really relate on that score, but of course Clifford got into a lot of different kinds of music. I haven't had much time for music, to be quite frank, lately. Since the governor's race has started, it's been all that, pretty much.
Well, let's talk about that. What on earth possessed you to decide to go ahead and put both boots into the gubernatorial race?
Well, I didn't like, I love Texas. I don't like the way it's headed. I didn't like what was happening to her, and thought I'd try to give people a real choice for a change, and I think November we'll have one. I know whether Texans take it or not will be up to them.
Well, I know we've got a lot of issues on the plate this year in terms of statewide issues. There's tolls, there's taxes, and we're just entering hurricane season again, and I know how much fun we had last year with that.
If I'm governor and a massive hurricane hits Houston, I've already got the plan for that. We just moved to New Orleans.
Well, that would be kind of a payback, I guess.
Not quite. But not if you live in Houston. It's not. Crime has spiked there about 25% since the Katrina people came over. There's some good news, though. You can now get Boudin at Circle K.
That's true, and you know, I haven't seen a Nutria since, so I guess they're taking care of that. But another good thing is certainly that Austin's music scene has absorbed a big influx of musicians from the New Orleans area, or it did. I guess a lot of them have headed back at this point, though. When did you guys start the campaign officially? I know that you and I had talked about it a couple Thanksgivings ago, I guess back in 2004. When did you guys kick the campaign off?
I guess February 2005, in front of the Alamo, we officially announced. And at that time, I think it was, a lot of it was lighthearted. Still is. I still believe what Will Rogers says, that he's very comfortable around politicians because they're the greatest comedians of them all. And the only problem is every time they make a joke, it turns into a law. And every time they make a law, it turns into a joke. And it's a fairly accurate description of what we have today. So we started kind of humorously, and I want to keep it that way. You know, the other candidates seem to have humor bypasses, all these career politicians. They really do. So I want to keep it light and entertaining and still be a dealer in hope and a dealer in truth.
I know you picked up some good celebrity endorsements. I know Willie has endorsed you, but he might have an ulterior motive trying to push his biofuels. But who are some of the other people that have endorsed you at this point?
Well, I don't think, I haven't known Willie to be a person that really cares very much about financial things. I think he believes that biodiesel can save Texas. That biodiesel can will be healthier. Will be give the farmers work, for instance, all over Texas with biodiesel co-ops. And so I really think it's going to be the watchword of the future. And I think Willie and I can sell this to the people of Texas that working together. We can lower the prices at the pump, actually, by having about 8% of Texans on biodiesel. I'm ready to sacrifice. I'm ready to trade my Yom Kippur Clipper in on a diesel engine. You know, that's Yom Kippur Clipper, by the way, is a Jewish Cadillac, in that it stops on a dime and it picks it up.
You have certainly brought controversy with you ever since you started your music career with. When you launched the band Kinky Friedman and the Texas Jew Boys, you've certainly not held any cows sacred, as it were. I know that you've been involved with some peace efforts in the Middle East, even. Tell me about some of the stuff that you're doing like that.
Well, on the first comment you made, as far as not being afraid to offend people, I think that's so important to have. I think our politicians today are afraid to offend anybody, and that's why they don't do anything. Now, you know, I wrote songs like They Ain't Making Jews Like Jesus Anymore and Proud to Be an Asshole from El Paso, and I'm not afraid to offend people, so I don't just go to the barrio and eat tamales there and then go to the black church and eat fried chicken and maybe say a few phrases of Spanish when I'm in the valley. Because I don't speak it. I want to tell people the truth. I want to tell them that education is the answer. That's what we have got to make the centerpiece on the table of Texas. Not banning gay marriage or cheerleading legislation. As far as peace in the Middle East, you probably are referring to my friend Farouk Shami, who's a Palestinian and who is honorary campaign chairman. The two of us have some ideas. I think every Texan should care about the whole world, but we've got a lot of work to do here in Texas first.
Well, I just got my bottle of Farouk and Friedman extra virgin olive oil, first cold-pressed oil from the Holy Land.
Better hang on to that one, Jeff, because I think the company is pretty much tanking as far as a commercial entity. But, of course, it may be the last true hope for peace in the Middle East.
Well, it's certainly oil that didn't cause as much distress this year as anybody else's.
Yeah, that could be well said. Yeah.
Speaking about oil and Willie's biodiesel, what do you think about the guys in Houston that refine the real stuff? How do you think they're going to feel about biodiesel?
Well, we don't know. I think most of them are pretty visionary people. They're forward-looking. They know that biodiesel is coming. They know we're running out of dinosaur wine. And they know we can't let the Saudis play the jukebox and us just dance to the tune forever. So, I mean, we got to do something about it. And there's 35,000 school buses in Texas. I could put every one of them in biodiesel when I'm governor, and I will. And Willie can sell all the truckers on it. I really believe, you know, with, what is it, Brazil, it's now energy independent. See, the University of Pennsylvania runs entirely on biodiesel. It's not that difficult a direction to go, and it's a very sensible one. And it's something we ought to do. And if Willie's ready to do it, and I don't mean to be a spokesman, I mean actually be a hands-on energy czar for Texas, that would be great, because that would bear out what I've always said. Musicians can better run this state than politicians. Hell, beauticians can better run this state than politicians.
That's a secret I don't think the politicians want to get out.
No, they don't. They don't. That's why they don't want initiative and referendum. You know, it takes away the politicians' power and gives it to the people. So if we want to get rid of toll roads, we can vote. We can bring it up and vote on it. If we want to legalize casino gambling so we can finally pay for education once and for all, we can vote on it.
See, I don't remember voting the toll roads in the first place.
No,
but
no, you're right. Yeah, we didn't. Many of them we've already paid for once. So I want to get rid of all toll roads in Texas, and I've suggested before my plan called the Four Highways of Texas, named after Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Bob Wills, and Buddy Holly. And people have told me that I should add to that list Janis Joplin and Stevie Ray Vaughan, which might not be a bad idea.
And Steve Miller, too.
Well, you know, that would probably be a feeder road. I would think. That'd be like the Kinky Friedman crosswalk. Of course, you got Doug Somm. We have more music icons than any other state.
How many famous Texas musicians are there? I guess we could stand here all day and talk about.
We're not talking about fame. We're talking a little more than that. You know, I mean, there's lots of famous people, but don't mean much. As Ernest Hemingway said, fame is death's little sister.
Yeah.
Fame is gotten without merit, and it's lost without crime. And there's something more important, I think, and that creates what you see in a Buddy Holly, who continues. You know, I mean, Buddy Holly came out of nowhere. I mean, this really was just an aching emptiness where he was from.
I've been to Lubbock. I have to agree with you, but I'm going to catch heat for that one.
Well, Lubbock is a wonderful place. It's only the people in Austin just have the same attitude of getting it that the people in New York have about the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And people in London feel that way. They think Scotland and Ireland are just the backwoods, you know. That's a kind of a culture-bound sort of way to look at things. I mean, Texas is, after all, we do have a lot of spiritual elbow room in Texas, which is a good thing.
Earlier, you'd mentioned that you were going to be taking your five family members with you to the governor's mansion. I know you're involved in dogs in another way. You're involved in the Utopia Rescue Ranch. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, sure. Utopia Rescue Ranch handles any animal that is abused or stray, and we. No-kill facility, so we're kind of a sanctuary where they can live forever, and hopefully we get them adopted. And we've adopted, I think, now over 1,500 dogs in the past 7 years, all to loving homes. You didn't know there were that many loving homes, did you, Jeff?
I tell you what, I'm a sucker for a puppy face, and if I walked through a dog shelter, I'd take them all home if I had the opportunity.
I feel it. But Utopia has been very successful, and we've adopted pigs, we've adopted donkeys, goats, cats.
How about snakes?
Snakes we have not adopted yet. Something I think that's more your area than mine.
Well, I'm glad you left the yet on there, though. At least it leaves an opening.
Did you tell me that you knew Floyd Potter and knew who he is?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he was a, Floyd was a great teacher and counselor of mine, who was in Parks and Wildlife, but he knew so much about animals.
Yeah.
He was a herpetologist. I mean, it's people like that that you want helping to run this state. You don't need the Crips and the Bloods. You don't need the politicians. You need the people who care about their field. That's all there is to it. And you put these people in place and get the hell out of their way and let them work. Now, there's a plan, and it's one that's never been tried.
Do you have any plans for any pet-oriented legislation? Shelter legislation, anything like that?
Well, I think what's most sorely lacking, yeah, is a not just a program, but funding. And all the good human and animal programs have been, of course, the animals never got much anyway. But the funds have all been cut, whether it's animals or whether it's special ed kids or insurance for children, health insurance, or special mental health and retardation, or librarians or veterans. They're all getting screwed. Retired teachers, all of that is getting screwed. The only thing this governor seems to care about is bringing big business to Texas, and he doesn't realize that none of these big businesses want a sweetheart deal. They can get one any place. They just want to check our ranking educationally, and when they see we're 50th, they're not very impressed. We're also 50th, by the way, in care for the elderly. And we're only first in executions, toll roads, and property taxes. Oh, dropouts. So I think, you know, as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working for you?
I'd say we need some assistance. I personally would like to see some type of either at a state level or a national level, some type of emergency system in place for pets, for natural disasters. I think Katrina should have been the big wake up call. I know personally of people that died rather than leave their pets.
Sure, if that's your family. And I'll tell you something else, that's just the height of bureaucracy to take a blind man out of New Orleans and leave his seeing eye dog there in the flooded house. And there's another story that we didn't cover much, and that's the one up in the panhandle, those fires, where there were a lot of animals that could have been saved that weren't, that died days afterwards. And probably upwards of 25,000 animals died, more than that. And the governor was busy with Katrina. I mean, he spent a lot of time on that, and he didn't spend any time at all on the biggest natural disaster. And there were people ready to help, and they weren't organized. There just was no Rudy Giuliani here.
Yeah.
And there wasn't one in New Orleans either, of course.
I know that our family had a close interest in that, in the fire issue, because we've got some farm up in the panhandle, and the fire came darn close to our property up there.
We visited McLean up there and some of the areas that were hit. And it's just, I think there's not many votes up there, maybe. I don't know why. I don't understand it. There were people at A&M ready to help. There were all the 4-H bunch, and everybody else was ready to do something, and it was never put together. And never done. And by the way, those are very hardworking people who haven't gotten anything now. They've worked their whole lives. They got nothing. The Katrina people, most of them, a great many of them, never worked a day in their lives. And most of them are now resettled in Houston. And I remember my friends from the black churches telling me, don't take these people in. It, a lot of them are thugs. It's what Castro did to Jimmy Carter. It, like the boat lift, you know?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. It happens sometimes. But now the governor has invited these people to somebody else's house for dinner, and he hasn't picked up the tab. Houston's stuck with it.
Well, Kinky, if you're governor, what are you going to do for Texas music and Texas musicians?
Well, I think a lot of them... Ray Benson's one that I've talked a lot about this. Another one, of course, Billy Joe Shaver. In varying ways, I think musicians can do a lot for Texas, and it needs a lot of help. Musicians are creative people, and when I say musicians can better run the state than politicians, I'm serious, because they weren't the ones that got the train off the track. You know, they didn't put the train in the ditch. It was the politicians who did that. So, I'd like to see Steve Frumholtz wants to help out in Parks and Wildlife. He'd probably be great. Ray Benson, as far as bringing films to Texas, you know, we're losing most of the film business to Louisiana and other states that are from the film friendlier. I think there's lots that can be done in that area. I think the two big issues, obviously, are education and the border. But there's all kinds of areas where a little bit of justice would be good. Criminal justice is one of them, where, you know, when was the last time we executed a rich man in Texas? Do you know? Well, I'll tell you, the answer is never. As long as you have a system that imperfect, it's not much better than the one that executed an innocent man 2,000 years ago who became the savior of the world. So what have we learned in 2,000 years?
Where do you think you're going to go once you get into the governor's mansion? What's your first course of business going to be?
I think the first thing is to reconnect the governor with the people. I don't really want to be a politician. I want to be a good shepherd to Texas. One who knows and recognizes his own, and his own know and recognize him. I don't want to be a hired hand who flees when the wolves come. So I want to be a good shepherd. It's time somebody was. And that means have a telephone number people can call several hours every single day. It's not recorded, no secretary, it's free. Call and talk to the governor. Have a radio show that you can call in. And just unload on the governor what the issues are that are bothering you. I want to know those things. I don't think our governor's listening. I don't think the politicians are listening. In fact, I'm sure they're not.
Well, Kenke, I really appreciate you taking so much time out of your busy schedule. I know you've got interviews right up till the election. I want to thank you for talking to us about politics and music and dogs and rescue and all those wonderful things.
Well, it's a pleasure, and let's do it again when the campaign heats up a little. We're still 5 months out, which they tell me is a lifetime in politics.
It's certainly a lifetime on the internet.
Yeah, and anything can happen. It's going to be, you know, there's four people in the race, but what we're seeing right now all over the place, I honestly think it's going to be a huge turnout. Young people are going to be deeply involved in this, and I tell them, if you're old enough to die in Iraq, you are old enough to help us fix Texas.
I know that I keep coming across your guys pushing at all the local concerts. They're really out there swinging for you. You seem to have a very young and energetic crowd following you.
Yep, they are, and then we got some cotton tops, too, like myself, people who are, like, I'm 61 years old, which is too young for Medicare, but too old for women to care. But at any rate, I care. I care about Texas. That's why I'm running for governor. And I also say, never reelect anybody. That's a great motto to remember, folks, including me. Never reelect anybody. We'll do a lot better.
For Kingsnake.com Web Radio, this is Jeff Berenger and Kenke Friedman.